Good evening, everyone. This is Crystal from the Spooky Barber Babes. And yes, I said evening because I am recording this literally at midnight. Originally, I had said that I was going to do the episode on Paul Bateman, but I lost all my notes. Wonderful, wonderful me. I don't know what happened to them. They poofed. I'll just have to redo everything, which is fine. It's fine. But welcome to 2023. So a little update is we are now starting season 5 of our show, and season 5 will run from January until about June, and then we will start up season 6 around July. Also, there is a TikTok that we have out now, so feel free to go follow us at the Spooky Barber Babes on TikTok, because yeah, I decided I needed to just do more. And TikTok is a little bit more easier to put together on a day-to-day basis because I can just kind of do that from anywhere, along with YouTube shorts. So if you follow us on YouTube, keep an eye out on for that. This evening's case is going to be about the murder of Skylar Neese, a 16-year-old that was brutally stabbed by two of her best friends back in July of 2012. So before we get started, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor, and then we're going to get right on in. Skylar Neese was a 16-year-old honor student who loved to read, had a very active social life, and used social media as basically her diary. She was a hard worker and never missed a day of work at her part-time job at the time at her local Wendy's. But sadly, in the early, early mornings of July 6th, 2012, Skylar Neese made a decision that sadly ended her life. Skylar snuck out of her bedroom window in Star City, West Virginia to meet up with her two, and I'm going to use this in quotes, best friends, Sheila Eddy and Rachel Schoaf. Now, these three were best of friends. They attended University High School together just north of Morgantown, West Virginia. These girls, when I say they were inseparable, they were inseparable. Neese and Eddy had known each other since they were 8 years old, and Schoaf was introduced into the picture freshman year by Eddy. Now, Neese was said that she was basically an emotional rock for these two girls, considering they had both had parents who had divorced, and, you know, Neese, her parents were still together. Now, Neese's mother, Mary Neese, had said of her daughter's relationship with Sheila that Skylar thought she could save her, that she would hear Skylar on the phone basically telling Sheila, don't be stupid, what were you thinking? But she did say that on the other hand, Sheila was so much fun, and that it was basically Sheila was over all the time, didn't even bother knocking half the time. She just walked on in when she would come and visit her. Now, Rachel Schoaf, on the other hand, was the complete opposite of the carefree, fun-loving girl that Eddy was. Rachel, her family was a strict Catholic family, and even though she was well-liked and she was in a ton of school plays, she idolized Eddy for the wild and carefree attitude that she had, which that is kind of dangerous, because that leads to, I don't want to say envy, but it does kind of lead down a dangerous path. Now, sadly, there was a lot of underlying things that came into question about the girl's relationship as where it stood towards the end. On July 4th of 2012, Skylar Neese tweeted, "It really doesn't take much to piss me off. Sick of being at home, kind of censoring the other part. Thanks, friends. Love hanging out with you all, too. The day before Niece was killed, this was July 5th, Niece posted out another tweet saying, "You doing shit like that is why I can never completely trust you." Now, I say this because these tweets mean something when it comes down to it. And sadly, Skylar Niece tweeted one last time a few hours before she had snuck out her bedroom window. And it was a retweet from a friend who had posted, "All I do is hope." Now, sadly, those were the last things that were written by her. It seemed like a lot of things started, though, back around May 31st of 2012, when she posted, "You're a two-faced bitch and obviously effing stupid if you thought I wouldn't find out." Another tweet later in the spring said, "Too bad my friends are having lives without me." Basically, she was hinting at her two best friends, Sheila, Eddie, and Rachel Schoaf, for basically kind of becoming closer without her. And it seemed like she was very, I don't want to say jealous, but again, it's high school. There's hormones. Yeah. I mean, if you have your best friends, you do get very like, "Oh my God, my friends." It was stated by a classmate at UHS, Daniel Hoviter, that Sheila and Skylar were fighting a lot. And then there was one time sophomore year that him and Rachel were at the practice for the Pride and Prejudice play that they were in. And Rachel had her phone up to her ear and then said to him, "Listen to this. Sheila and Skylar were fighting, but Skylar didn't know Sheila had put her on three-way calling and Rachel was listening in." Now, you can tell me if that sounds like some mean girl shit, because to me it does. Now, there is footage of Skylar's last scene on the morning of July 6th. It is very grainy. If you follow us on Instagram or on TikTok, I'll have everything up on that as well. But the night of early mornings, we're talking, she snuck out of her window at 12:35 in the morning to go out with her friends. And this was July 6th. And she basically popped right out the window of her family's apartment and got into a car with the girls, unbeknownst that they had other plans that night. They told her, "Oh yeah, we're just going to go to our spot and, you know, go smoke up, you know, basically, you know." But unbeknownst to her that they actually had knives on them and that they did not foresee, or they weren't going to tell her that she wasn't going home that night. Now, the girls had all driven over the border to Pennsylvania, which is where, you know, most people don't realize West Virginia and PA are actually very close. And it still shocks me sometimes that people don't know that. This one actually kind of, it bothers me because it's a parent's worst nightmare. But basically, they pulled up on the side of the road to go, you know, into the woods to go smoke. And Sheila and Rachel turned to Skylar and said that they had forgotten a lighter in the vehicle. Skylar turned around to go get the lighter from inside the vehicle and bring it back to the girls. But unbeknownst to her, the two of them had started counting to three. By the time the girls got to three, they had begun stabbing Skylar in the back. Now, Skylar did manage to get up and run a few feet before being overtaken, because again, 2-on-1. And they continued to stab her. Now, Skylar put up a fight, which I'm happy she put up a fight, but it's just sad because it didn't matter in the end. She did manage to get the knife away from Rachel Schoaf and she managed to cut Rachel's ankle. However, her longtime best friend, Sheila Eddy, continued to stab her repetitively until they both had presumed that she died. The original plan that they had for her was that they were going to bury her with a shovel that was taken from Rachel's father's house. Now, again, sorry, it's just one of those, Basically, they were going to bury her. The ground was too hard for them to shovel through. So instead, what they did was they ended up leaving her body by the side of the road and covered her with sticks, dirt, and rocks. On July 7th, Skylar did not turn up for work, which for the girl who's never missed a day was very, very odd. The nieces knew that their daughter had not run away because all of her essentials were still at home. They did report their daughter missing, however. Later in the day, Sheila Eddy had called the nieces and proceeded to tell them that Skylar herself and Rachel had all snuck out the night before and went driving around Star City. They were getting high, and that the other two girls had dropped her back off down the road from the house because Skylar didn't want to wake her parents up while sneaking back inside. And truly, that story held up for the girls for a little while. Sheila Eddy and her mother ended up helping canvass the neighborhood for the nieces on July 7th, while Rachel Schoaf had left for Catholic summer camp for 2 weeks. Sheila had claimed that she and Rachel picked up Skylar at 11 p.m. and dropped her back off at the end of the street before midnight. Surveillance footage, however, showed, again, grainy as all get out, that they had pulled up to the apartment at 12:30 in the morning and that they had pulled away at 12:35. Now, the vehicle never showed back up on their road. Now, again, we're talking age of social media where everybody just says everything and does everything on it. And there was rumors, like, which is horrible, was that Skylar went to a house party and overdosed on heroin. That made the circuit for a little bit. Thank God it was disclaimed. But it was said apparently some teenagers had told him that they had attended a party and people panicked and they just disposed of the body. That is what Corporal Ronnie Gaskin had said that people had told him. However, Star City Police Officer Jessica Colbank's instincts said that their stories that the girls had given were identical. We were talking verbatim. It seemed rehearsed. And basically, she said that everything in her gut was screaming Sheila's acting wrong and that Rachel is scared to death. But again, there's no legitimate cause to make an arrest, at least not yet. The police had to keep investigating and her parents had to keep enduring, wondering what was going to happen, if they would ever find their daughter, if they would ever see her again. Now, the very next day, Sheila Eddy's back on Twitter, posting up a happy birthday to a friend of hers, and in the upcoming months afterwards. I mean, you're talking, these girls were active. Sheila continued to post regularly about, you know, watching TV, going to school, hating homework, you know, normal crap that teenagers go through. She even tweeted later a post that said, "No one on this earth can handle me and Rachel. If you think you can, you're wrong." But I read off the tweets from Skylar earlier, and police noticed them too. It seemed that that rift would provide some solid evidence that Sheila and Rachel might have had something to do with Skylar's disappearance. State Trooper Chris Berry was assigned to the case in August of 2012, and he believed that the murderer could not conceal what they had done for very long. He also stated that they like to brag, which history would show they do. And he believed that if the girls really did it, that they would eventually, in time, come and confess. Now, Officer Berry then created a fake online persona as an attractive teenage boy who attended West Virginia University in Morgantown. And he put it on Facebook and Twitter. And he managed to, you know, follow the girls and things like this. Investigators then used that access to kind of get insights on the mental states of both of the girls from their post. Now, again, like I said, Eddie's posting like there's nothing wrong, keeps going. However, Rachel Schoaf seemed more reserved and quiet online. But kind of a big kicker for everybody was that neither girl had posted about their missing friend. Now, we all know Twitter can be a very harsh reality for some people, and also just kind of where people like to come in. I don't want to say like bash people or anything like that, but when you put your opinion out there, you literally you get what comes back to you. Both of the girls kind of started seeing some stuff on Twitter that made them nervous, kind of uncomfortable. And it was that some Twitter users were outright accusing them of committing the murder. Again, still not known that she was murdered, but they were saying that they murdered her, their best friend, and that it would only be time before authorities had figured out what they had done and that they would be caught. Now, over time, the authorities continually brought Eddie and Schoaf in for interviews just to get more details. Oh, did you think of this? Could you remember this? What about this? But there was a pattern where they started noticing that the two girls, they pulled away from all of their other friends. They mainly stuck together and relied on one another. Again, need I remind you, Skylar was their emotional support rock. When your emotional support's not there for you anymore, it can be overwhelming because now you have no one and you're secluding yourself from others, but you can't say anything because then you implicate yourself. It's just a lot of craziness. But the interesting part about this is that Officer Colbank recognized that the car in the security footage belonged to Sheila Eddy. Now, authorities then cross-referenced the surveillance footage from like the nearby businesses from that night. And they found that it was the same car that had picked up Skylar near a convenience store in Blackstone, West Virginia. And that's where they, you know, got their footage from. Now, here's the other kicker. Eddie and Schoaf had said that the night of Skylar's disappearance, that they went east. However, evidence continued to point that this was now a lie and had noticed that the girls had actually gone west. Now, this is where things get a little frantic. Rachel and Sheila had dealt with a lot of stress and strain of concealing their crime. I mean, you're talking months at this point. And it got so bad that on December 28th of 2012, Rachel Schoaf's mother had called 911 in Monongalia County and was quoted saying, "I have an issue with a 16-year-old daughter of mine. I can't control her anymore. She's hitting us. She's screaming. She's running through the neighborhood." Now, this was Patricia Schoaf. In the background of the call, you could hear Rachel Schoaf crying uncontrollably. "Give me the phone. No, no, this is over. This is over." And then Patricia said to the dispatcher, "My husband's trying to contain her. Please hurry." Now, Rachel Schoaf obviously was ready to confess, and the authorities picked her up. Soon after, she had told them the truth. Now, when this confession went down, it went down on January 3rd of 2013. Schoaf had confessed to stabbing Niece to death with Eddie, and they had told authorities where they had left her body. Now, this was 10 days before authorities found the remains of Skylar Niece on January 13th of 2013. Now, while Schoaf's confessing, Eddie's keeping up appearances that nothing was wrong. She actually tweeted on that same date, "Staying home on a Tuesday is the best because Law & Order SVU is on all day." Oh, actually, that was on January 8th. My bad. But on the morning of March 13th of 2013, U.S. Attorney's Office had announced that the human remains that they found in the wooded area in Braith, Pennsylvania had belonged to Skylar Niece. Now again, Eddie's posting online, and she posted up that very afternoon at 3:06 p.m., "Rest easy, Skylar. You'll always be my best friend. I miss you more than you could ever know." And she posted up three pictures of the girls together. And then before that, she had posted, "Worst day of my whole life." Now, during Rachel Schoaf's initial confession, God, I can't talk, Schoaf had ended up telling authorities that her and Eddie had planned their murder for about a month beforehand. They planned it together in science class, and that they literally took it down to the detail of how they were going to get her out of the house, and where they said they were going to do, where they were going to go, and once they were in the woods, what they planned on doing. Now, here's what gets to me. On April 1st of 2013, Eddie posted, "We really did go on three." The following day, about a half hour later, she wrote, "They say you remember the past better than it really was." Please tell me if that didn't just scream psychotic crazy. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, it was done, but it's just like the fact that she kind of taunted it. Truth be told, she put on the internet, "Yeah, we really did go on three." Like, she confessed to exactly what Rachel Schoaf had told them. Because Schoaf told authorities, the plan was to count to three, then stab her. Like, who the hell does that? Now, as investigation continued, the car that Niece had been seen getting into on the surveillance footage, they were able to actually search, and that they found blood on the car that belonged to Niece. And on May 1st, 2013, Sheila Eddy was arrested in a restaurant parking lot, and Schoaf had turned herself into the authorities. Now, both teens were charged with murder as adults. Now, most people are like, "Oh, well, that sounds about right." The only reason that we even have any quote answers is the simple fact that Rachel basically told the police that they didn't like her. Now, I want to get into this. It's kind of a rush transcription of Schoaf's confession. Basically, they planned to do this murder right before Schoaf left for summer camp, kind of giving her an out. And Schoaf had said that on the night of the murder, she had grabbed a shovel from her dad's house while Eddie took two knives from her mom's kitchen. They also, again, like I said earlier, they had took cleaning supplies and a change of clothes because they didn't want to be covered in blood. When they picked up Skylar and assumed they were just going to be driving around and having fun, you know, previously the trio had driven to Brave. That was literally a town right over the state line in Pennsylvania where they get high. So they kind of knew, you know, where to go. Now, despite the fact that the girls, you know, they were wearing hoodies, which, again, it's summertime. It was scorching hot outside. You know, that's where they were hiding their knives. Skylar didn't think anything of it from what that was stated. But that, you know, like I had already explained earlier, like how they did it. So I'm not going to get into that again. And when Niece had gone to do her to go get the light, the two girls got behind her and Cho said, on three. Then they proceeded to attack her. Now, Cho did say that in Skylar's dying breaths after being stabbed dozens of times, she had asked why. When asked later, Rachel Schoaf the same question of why she did it, she simply replied, we didn't like her. Now, it's horrible that that happened and that literally they didn't want to be friends with her anymore. And instead of, you know, just telling her, they decided they wanted to end her life, which was completely stupid and horrible and a dumb decision. Now, Eddie had pled guilty to first-degree murder for her roles in the killings. On January 24th of 2014, roughly 18 months after Skylar's death, she was sentenced to life in prison. Rachel Schoaf pled guilty to second-degree murder and was sentenced to 30 years in prison the following month. Now, the other details on that, because there are other details. While Rachel Schoaf was sentenced to 30 years, she is offered parole eligibility in 10. Now, there were other charges that were also going to be placed on Sheila Eddy as well. And that was the initial plea that Eddie had given originally was not guilty. And that was to the charges of kidnapping in the first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder. Once those additional charges were added, she changed her mind to not guilty. Now, because she ended up pleading guilty to first-degree murder, despite showing no mercy or ever apologizing, she was sentenced to life in prison with mercy. Now, when you're sentenced to life in prison with mercy, this means that she will be eligible for parole after only 15 years, which, as you know, that's, yeah. Both women are incarcerated at Lackin Correctional Center in West Virginia, which I honestly, for the life of me, don't understand why they would have incarcerated the two women together, especially just because there was also an interesting factoid because the parent, like the nieces, believe that there was an ulterior motive and that they just didn't like her. But the nieces have been keeping Skylar's memory alive in positive ways. They helped pass Skylar's Law in West Virginia, which is essentially established an Amber Alert be issued for all missing children, even if not believed to be kidnapped. They also turned the area where she had been murdered into a memorial. The nieces, again, they did an interview with 2020 with Nancy Grace, and in regards to the memorial, David Niece had told them something horrible happened here, but I wanted to take the horrible thing that happened here and try to turn it into something good, a place that people can come and remember Skylar and remember the good little girl that she was and not the little beast that they treated her like. It was also stated in the interview to 2020, and this is what the parents believed, was that she knew something about the girls that they didn't want public. They had told Nancy Grace, quote, Rachel and Sheila had formed some type of sexual relationship, and they believed Skylar knew about it and would ultimately tell everyone. They, however, were insistent that Skylar would have never said anything about it, quote, she had a lot of gay and lesbian friends and that it didn't bother her. So, truly, was it because she knew something about them? We'll probably never know. Because they're sticking with they just didn't like her, which is horrible. I mean, nobody should, you know, have to worry about their life flashing before their eyes because, you know, somebody just doesn't like you. And instead of being human about it and saying, hey, look, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. This is, you know, either XYZ, this is why, or not even giving a reason. You don't have to give somebody a reason to not be friends with them anymore. Just block them. Tell them, like, hey, you did something that pissed me off. I don't want to be friends with you. Take a break. Don't end someone's life. I mean, that's just horrible. But again, this is just a thing on its own it sucks. It really sucks. And as a parent, like, that's like your worst nightmare. You don't ever want to think that, you know, your child could be taken away from you. And I'm pretty sure I've said this before in multiple other episodes, but yeah, it's not something that you really want. And it's something that a lot of parents worry about. Is my kid going to sneak out, you know? But yeah, so this is the tragic story of three friends that fell to the wayside as friends, and one girl who decided that she was going to go hang out with her friends, didn't think anything of it, and sadly didn't see it coming. But also, you know, I mean, if it's anything, I don't want to say if it's any consolation, because, you know, but I mean, social media, people document everything on there. I mean, there's people out there that document where they eat. They geotag things, and it causes problems because when you're in the moment, you just kind of say whatever you feel and you don't think of anything else after that. Like, oh, could that have hurt somebody's feelings? And you don't really delete anything either. It's kind of just left out there for the world to see. But yeah. So tonight's episode, again, it is being released now. It is season 5 beginning. So this is episode 1. There will be 2 episodes out this week, this episode, and then there'll be another one out on Thursday after midnight. Can't wait to see what you guys think about these. There will also be a bit of a schedule post going forward of what we'll be doing, what we're looking into. Some YouTube episodes will be out. I know we've kind of taken a little bit of a backseat with YouTube, and I know I said I was going to do more at the beginning of this year, but sadly, sickness hit the house, and when I'm sick, I don't sound good, and I'm very, very whiny. Nobody wants to hear me whine. But with all that aside, we are back. It is now 2023, and let's have a spooktacular killer year. And as always, stay spooky, everybody.